everyone. It's Angela Stevens with the podcast Refocus with Angela. I am so delighted today to speak to our guest. Her name is Sunitha Chandy. She is a licensed psychologist in Illinois, and she has got some really great areas that we can concentrate today on, working with teams and diversity and stress management and more and more. So first of all, Sunitha, thank you so much for joining us.
Angela, I'm so excited to be here with you and to talk more.
Awesome. Wonderful. So this podcast is all about focusing. And so tell us about your personal day-to-day. Like when you start your day and you're trying to get focused for the day, what is it that you do?
I love that question because I feel like the way I have had to learn how to focus has shifted and changed, I feel like, every few years. So I'm a mom. I have two kids. I've got a 10 and 7-year-old. And I think the way in which I have to focus, I would love my focus to start at like 9 a.m. with like a leisurely wake up where I could just enjoy a lovely mindful morning. And instead, it is involving this mindful practice of convincing myself I can handle getting out of bed when my alarm wakes up because I have two children that need to get out of the door. So I think as being a psychologist, practicing what you preach involves being really gracious about things that you cannot control, which is I'm not a morning person, but I live with morning people who rely on me. So a lot of my focus really starts the day before, which is accepting that I get to go to bed early. But a lot of the focus in my day is really structure. I have a really structured morning so that our entire family can make it through that day to start off well. And I know a lot of families, like how we start off our day is absolutely going to shape how everyone feels. And it really is in that first few minutes, I know how much energy I'm going to have to spend really setting my day off well, because it's in those first few moments of like that good morning. I don't know, Angela, you have that with your children or when they were younger, if you know, like you can tell.
So here's the difference between you and I. Okay. So I'm ADHD. So I'm just like, I have a ball of energy every morning. It drives my husband crazy. He's like the calm of our family, right? My son, when he was younger, he was always hyper and going around. So, but I love this question because I know a lot of people that will say, I'm not a morning person. So I really want to ask you that question. So as a psychologist and a mother, if you are not a morning person, what can you do to change that or make that better, again, for the people that you live with?
Absolutely. I think this is one thing about recognizing who you are. It's really important, but it also really matters who your other people are, because I cannot change the fact that I'm not a morning person. It's partly biologically wired. If you just leave me to my own devices, I will sleep in. It is a magical thing and I love it. But my eldest, when he was born, like 5 a.m. was his magic time. That's when he wanted to wake up. I did not want him to be that way, but I made him, and that's what happened. And so the first step for me really was learning to accept it. And part of it's working with who I am. So if I know I'm going to be running slow in the mornings, and I'm a raging extrovert, I really love being around people, but it also means that I'm going to be moving slow. I am trying to set my day up to work with who I am. So I can't change certain parts of who I am. I can make the morning more pleasurable. So I have a routine where I know, like, I do purposely get up before my children do. We actually have a specific routine where we have a cat as well. So me and my partner.
I love it. Can we hear it?
Yeah. So we'll talk about more things in the mix. So we take turns on who feeds the cat, because that's actually the most demanding person in the house, or not person, creature in the house, the meows that wake us up. So I get up. The first thing I do is I actually go and get the kids, and we have snuggle time. So that's our compromise, is we've actually convinced them to actually get up. They get into bed with my partner. And if I'm feeding the cat, he gets the early snuggles with the kids. We go, I feed the cat, clean up the cat poop. And then I actually come up and go back into bed. and snuggle the kids for like 15 minutes. So for me, I'm not a morning person, but it is reinforcing because I get this like special quality time with my two boys, which may not last forever.
That's right. That's right.
And so for me, it's like, I don't like being up in the morning, but as a mom, like this is really precious time for me to have with my kids.
You got it. It's so funny. I just, on our last podcast, I just did a whole episode on ideas for people that work from home with kids, because it can be really, really challenging. But what I love what you said is that you take time to snuggle with your kids, because as I was a single mom, sometimes that was just not possible. However, I love that because that gives them time just with you. And I even said that in my last, ideas for summer. I said, when my mom carved out time for me, that was so special. I was a kid. I was one of five kids. So that was special time. I will never forget that. So I think what you're doing is great. And you're exactly right. When they get boys, then they grow up, they don't want to do that. So I get that. So,
well, and it's so special too, because I think as parents, we put so much pressure on ourselves to do so much. This is 15 minutes where my eyes are closed and I don't have to move and I'm exhausted and I'm not at my best. Because I'm not a morning person and I'm exhausted.
Right. And if you don't take care of you, you can't take care of them.
Absolutely. But I'm building it into my schedule at a time when I'm not great. My breath stinks. Right. My hair looks horrible. And all my kids want to do is get up and run around, but they will take this 15 minutes and let me sleep in a little bit more and snuggle me. So it is sort of a win-win.
I absolutely love that. So if you had advice for, let's say, parents that, don't have time, or, if there's two of them, but they're running around in the morning, how do they carve that? Do they get up earlier?
One idea is yes. And I want to say it's a sacrifice. And I think it's okay for us to look at these things that we do as a sacrifice. But if you're going to sacrifice something, there has to be a reason for it. Sacrifice for sacrifice sake that doesn't give a payout, don't do it. It's not worth it.
Right.
But I do think it's looking at what can you focus on that is building towards your goals. That's a lot of what actually gets me through my day. Like most of us brush our teeth in the morning. Why? Because we've been trained to do it. I don't think most of us in the morning are thinking dental hygiene. This is so great. I'm protecting my health. Most of us do it because our mouth tastes gross and it makes us feel better. It's habit. But it actually makes us feel better physically. For those of us who actually make our beds in the morning, it's okay if you don't, because that's up to you. If you do, it's okay to take 1 second and notice like, my room looks cleaner. So I would often say for parents who don't have time to do a lot with their kids, I'm a big fan of 30 seconds. So each morning, just take 30 seconds. And I want you to say one thing to your kid, like, good morning, handsome, or good morning, pal. I hope this is a great day for you. Or what are you excited about today? Or I'm so excited for what we're going to do today. Pick something positive.
That's so awesome. That is so awesome. I used to sing to my son. It used to drive him crazy. And but I was always happy. And he was just like, why are you so happy and up in the morning? But that was our thing.
Yes.
That was our thing. And so, and he remembers that to this day.
I would say for parents too, like we can be real. Some of us have really tough days ahead of us and we are not feeling good about work. Guess what? Some of your kids have really tough days ahead of them. They are not feeling good about school. Why don't you team up with them and be like, all right, what are we going to do today so we can feel awesome? All right, this morning, let's eat our Cheerios and cheer each other on. It's okay for us to be real about like, this is going to be a hard day. We don't want to bring our kids down. We don't want to bring our work stress to them. But if you know you need a little bit of a pump up before work, you could also pump your kids up. I'm a big fan of thinking about what I need and remembering that my kids are also people who need things too. And so if I need encouragement, can I do that with them? Because I think self-care is a great thing, but I think the word's gotten overused. And so we don't take it seriously anymore. But I think community care can be really effective because we feel really good. Like if I say, Angela, I hope you're really proud of the ways you've inspired people. Like I hope Angela's like, that feels really sweet to hear.
Yeah, of course.
But it feels good for me to say it. Like, it feels really nice because I'm joining in because I'm like, wow, this feels really neat to see this. I'm seeing someone. I'm like hearing about the great things that she's doing. And then I just said it. I felt nice. Like, but what did I do? I didn't do anything. I just pointed something out.
But what you said was so important that you said earlier, you said the positive words to them. And I think that that we've overlooked, right? But the positive words, that positive encouragement when they walk out that door, right? Because our kids are really facing things that we don't even know. As I mentioned before this podcast, on the fourth episode, it's an interview I did with my son, and it was what it was like having ADHD in college. And so check that out if you haven't heard of it. But again, that just shows you there's things on there that as a mother, I had no idea. As a professional, I was really, really proud of him. And so just like with your kids, they will grow up. And one thing I will say is when you have older teens, this is the trick. Somebody told me this one time. They said, when they want to talk is when you want to go to sleep. And they were exactly right. And so I had to kind of train myself in that area, just like you did. So you grow with your child, right?
And I think there's really fabulous research out there. I think we have this assumption with teenagers, like, oh, they just want to be with their friends. They just want to hang out with, you know, kids. They don't care about their parents. All of the research says, and teenagers will self-report, that the most important people in their lives are their caregivers, their primary caregivers. And so
definitely. And even with any kids, but with ADHD kids, I've always heard more yeses than no. Because they get told no so much. And I think that goes along with any kids, right? I mean, because we're always trying to get onto them. And I think that's really important. So talk to me, Sunitha, about, you know, your company. I love the areas that you're working in. And I think it's so great because you mentioned before that, you know, you're working with people on stress management. I would love for you to share maybe a couple of ideas. First of all, tell us what you do, but a couple of ideas on what people who, if they are stressed every day, what they can do to help change that.
Yeah, I am super lucky. So I'm the owner and founder of Artesian Collaborative, and we are a mental health organization. We have a group practice in Chicago, in Illinois, but we are a group of therapists that are passionate about bringing those skills outside of the therapy room. So we lead diversity and inclusion trainings, stress management trainings, and relational leadership trainings for companies and organizations. And we have really seen a significant shift in the impact of stress on people in the workplace and really in general. And so, Angela, like you're saying, stress has always been a part of work. It's always been a part of life. I think most of our children will tell us stress has always been a part of school, but it's really different when you are trying to manage that work-life balance and you are struggling with ADHD or neurodiversity. But since the pandemic, we have really seen that sort of pretend barrier between work and home sort of fall apart. And so a lot of what we have been really doing to support people isn't just talking about, hey, you know what, why don't you just take a vacation or, you know, go do some yoga to relax. We've been actually talking a lot about what are those stress management skills that you can do while you're in that meeting, or what can you do in the moment when your team is like, hey, we're not going to meet our deadline and we have to figure this out right now. And so really realizing so much of how we carry ourselves into our day-to-day work is going to shape how we feel when we get home, how we're doing in our relationships, how we're doing in that morning routine with our children before we even start our day. And so that's a lot of what our team is really passionate about, is helping people in the moment in that tension.
That's great. I wanted to ask you, we've never asked anyone on this podcast that has worked with companies. And if you're working with a team and you've got a VP or somebody that leads that team, what are signs that you can see with that team where you might find some of your employees are going through a difficult time? Maybe you don't know about it, but what are the signs to look for?
That's a great question, Angela, because I think people deal with stress in a variety of different ways. And I think sometimes as leaders, we're really prepared for the emotional explosions and eruptions, because I think that's what we're taught. Like, we're like, okay, if someone's like breaking down in the bathroom and they're crying and sobbing, or if they're having a panic attack, then I know that they're struggling. But we're not used to the person who seems really flat and disengaged or quiet. We're not used to realizing that those actually might also be signs of burnout, or the person who's always been like the go-getter, front in line, always doing something, and now they seem a little withdrawn and dejected. Those also can be signs of burnout. A lot of us work really, really hard to hide how we're doing at work because we feel like, oh, no, I'm not supposed to bring these emotions there. I'm supposed to be very stoic. And so oftentimes for leaders, it can be very hard to tell when your teams are struggling unless you start to create that safety to talk about it. Because again, stress is really normal, but work is intense, even when you love your job, even when you love what you're doing.
Oh, I've got three companies, of course. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I think so, embracing that, especially when you love what you do, I think that makes us even more prone to being influenced by the ups and downs. And so incorporating and normalizing, I think when we're a leader, being able to say like, hey, we know things are tough, and here's the magic word, and what are some of the things that we can do to help support us so we can make it through this? So sometimes we feel as leaders, if we show any weakness, then our team's going to fall apart. I do think there's a lot of power of naming. This is tough. And we've got to do some stuff. Take that deep breath, relax ourselves, think through the problem so we can solve it. So I do think some of the warning signs really are major changes. They don't have to be significantly major, but like if people are seeming less connected to the work, if they seem flat or shut down, I do think stronger or more intense emotions are things for leaders to watch out for. Shifts in performance. It is a lot harder in the hybrid and virtual space for leaders to be able to gauge that. And so we do a lot of work in helping leaders know how to ask the questions, because sometimes it can feel weird. Like, how do I ask the questions to get to how my team is doing?
Right.
Because if you ask, exactly. Like, if I go like, how are you doing? The correct answer for most people is fine. How are you?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. So I want to flip that question backwards on you. So if you're an employee and you are having a very difficult time, no one knows about it, how's the best way to go to your supervisor or a coworker or something in today's world? Because a lot of people are dealing with anxiety, depression, different things like that. What is the best way for those individuals to handle that?
The first thing I would say for someone who's having a hard time is for them to look at, are you judging yourself? I think the first thing that a lot of us do is when we're having a hard time is that we start beating ourselves up. And I think it's really important for us to catch, what are you doing well? How are you taking steps to try and do your work? Most workers I know are actually working really hard to get their work done when they're struggling with anxiety, when they're struggling with depression, when there has been a major event that's happened in their life that has disrupted their work. And what often stops them from seeking help is the fear of being labeled, the fear of not being seen as good enough. And so oftentimes the first step they need to take before they ask for help is to sit down and do an account of, okay, let me write down what I have been doing. Right? Mm-hmm. Because that's the fear. It's like, if I tell my boss or someone in HR that I'm having a hard time, they're going to be like, well, you haven't been performing well. You're not doing so good. All of a sudden, all of us, our hearts are racing and we're terrified. And we're like, yeah, that's why I'm not saying anything. A key thing for people to remember is there's a huge difference between a state and a trait. So a trait is what we are, right? Like, I have black and gray hair. I have brown eyes. Like, I'm female. Those are all traits of who I am. We're not expecting those things to change. But there are states, like the state of being hungry or thirsty. That's something I'm going to feel, and it's going to come and it's going to go. And it's really important for us to realize these emotions or these moments of more intense crisis, those are just states. You're not going to stay in that position. So when we're asking for help or we're sharing that something's difficult, it's not a place that you're saying, I'm always going to be here. So even with someone who has anxiety or depression, you may have a chronic state of illness, like this might be something you struggle with, but you're not always in crisis, right? So someone might be like, hey, I might struggle with anxiety, but I have skills that I use that help me. I practice things, but right now something big is happening in my life and I need some extra support. So there's a big difference between asking for support in the midst of an acute situation versus like, I'm going to be labeled as a troublemaker. I'm going to be labeled as someone who can't do my job. And I want people to see that difference because that's often what holds people back from using resources like seeking out therapy or talking to a friend. And so I want people to feel the freedom to say like, hey, I am already doing things. This is one step. So oftentimes when you talk to your boss, it can be helpful, or HR or a colleague. What can often help people is to be behavioral. Like, it would help me if we could have some set goals for our meeting, or if meetings could end in 50 minutes so we all could have time to run to the bathroom for the next meeting.
Right.
You may have no idea what you need. And so you might want to, I'm a big fan of scripting things out, if you can tell by the way I'm listing this. But if something is difficult, being able to write out like, hey, this is the situation. This is how it's making me feel. This is what I need. And what you need might be a conversation. What I really need is a conversation for us to find a plan that could help us out. I love us language versus me language, because my guess is if it's affecting you, it's probably affecting the team. This is the biggest part about this skill. This is a skill that comes from dialectical behavior therapy, which some people might be familiar with. It's the Dear Man skill. So D is describe what's happening. E is express your emotions. A is ask for what you want. But R is like my favorite part, which is reinforce why it's beneficial. So when I ask for something from my boss, I'm going to reinforce why it's beneficial. This will be helpful because it'll help us all feel more supported. And it's actually really true. A lot of leaders know that, hey, if my team feels supported by me, they're going to work better. They're going to feel more connected. Our entire company is going to do better. And lots of organizations realize that. That's why they hire companies like mine to come in and support their teams.
And that's what I was going to say too, is that always check your work, because your HR department could have a whole counseling or behavioral program that you can do it confidentially. You can do televisits. You can do different things that will help you. And sometimes we don't even know that if we work for a company, we don't even know that those are available because they're newer. A lot of companies have added that benefit and there's nothing wrong with it because it's very, very confidential. And then also, if you're at a high level productivity level on the VP executive level, they will sometimes get you a coach, someone that gets you back to where you were. And so, you know, that's so important. And I think you really explained that beautifully about writing it down first, because some of the things that you might write down are things that maybe you can prevent or that you can do. And then you can say, okay, this is reasonable to go to my boss, or this sounds better if I asked for this. Because just like, can we stop the meeting 10 minutes before? I guarantee you that boss probably didn't even think about that. I mean, they were just thinking, oh, we'll have a meeting for an hour. Didn't even occur to them. And as a company owner, I would love that. I mean, if someone told me that, I would much rather hear that than for them to just leave. I would much rather have that. And we do that a lot. We just kind of do check-ins. And so if you're smaller, you can do that. If it's a larger company, you know, it's not so easy, but you do have those resources that you should definitely check out. So I think that's really, really important. You were talking about earlier about helping people talk through that. Is that what you were talking about just there?
Yes.
On the stress level? I think it was, yes. And because I think on an individual basis as well, I think you have to write down, right, what is going on and how you feel about that and what you can do. Because I always say you need to be a part. You need to be a part of the solution, right? And you need to work with your company. And I think this even goes further, Sunitha, to your home life as well, right?
Yes.
To your partner, to your spouse. I think it's the same thing. If you're struggling inside and you need the support from your spouse or your partner or whoever, and they maybe you're doing everything and you need help, just talk to them.
And it's okay to realize it's hard to ask for help.
Right. And they may not understand at first. But again, if you write that down and say, these are the things that are at my breaking point and I can't do this anymore, people will come running to help you. They will. I've seen it over and over and over because sometimes they don't know. And so, you know, I just had a person reach out to me the other day who is in a really uncomfortable situation at work. And she doesn't know what to do. And, you know, we talked it through and I looked at her and I said, you don't have a family, you don't have children. And I said, you have to look out for yourself. And I said, and the first thing is first is I would do exactly what you said. And I would go talk to your boss and I would see, are there other opportunities that you can, you know, continue on with and do different areas? Maybe there's a new area that you could be involved in, or maybe it's time to make that change. Right. But I think versus taking our emotions and going forward, right, at first with that hypersensitivity, sometimes that is a recipe for disaster, right? When you are angry, you're upset. That's not the time. It's not the time for our kids. It's not the time for us. And it's really hard to do, isn't it?
It's very hard to do. And I think that's the part where learning to be in tune with how we're feeling and in tune with what we need with other people. It always takes practice. I love the fact that we're always learning and growing. I think this idea that like, oh, now I'm an adult and I'm done with growth. It's like, oh no, we still get to grow and practice. But there is a sense, absolutely, when we're in that place where our emotions are really high, step one is always for us to take a moment and take care of ourselves. Listen to how we're doing, and then step in to figure out, okay, what can I do now for the community that I'm in? Sometimes that's work. Sometimes that's home. Sometimes that's our friends. And I love the fact that the skills that we use are the same. They're just going to look a little bit different depending on the intimacy level, the relationship, and the role we have. When I'm playing mom, it's going to look a little bit different how I do that skill versus right. Exactly. If I'm going to talk to my boss, it's a little bit different. But I do like right. The fact that there's still the part where like, hey, I have to check in on how I'm doing because mm-hmm. How I want to show up, some of that's the same. I want to show up as my best self, but I have to admit that like I'm prone to stress. I'm going to be impacted by things and that's great. And I know sometimes it doesn't feel great, but it's great that we care. It's great that we're invested in things. That's partly why we're so good at our work. It's also great that we matter to our teams, right? And so sometimes we feel really guilty that like, oh, I'm having this hard time or, oh, the way that I think is different and I have to do things differently. But I want to remind people like that also is an asset. Like diversity is really, really important in the workplace. It's really important in our families. It's really, really important in the world. And I really appreciate, as a psychologist who has worked with children for a really long time, I'm really happy about the changes in the ways that we talk about ADHD with children now, because mm-hmm. We are starting to see some major changes in how kids self-identify and like the change in judgment. Right. Like having kids just start to say like, hey, the way my brain works is different and I just need to do different things to succeed is so much better than I must be bad. There's something wrong with me.
You are spot on. We have a saying in our company. We always say, no matter if you have ADHD or not, once you are focused and you're organized and you can find that calm in your life, you can be brilliant because kids and adults with ADHD are some of the most brilliant people I've ever met. They are so creative. They have their strengths. They might be stronger in one area, but boy, in that one area, they are pros. And I think as parents, if you can identify that, that's great. If you're an adult, like I said, I didn't know I had ADHD until I was 45. And, you know, I have no shame in that at all because it makes sense. A lot of it makes sense. It makes sense that I have three companies. It probably doesn't make sense to other people. I probably need counseling for that. However, but it's because I can do one thing and change my, course in a second. And so, I think that is so valuable. I could talk to you all day, first of all. If anyone has never met Sunitha and you have a company and you want to reach out to her company for doing any kind of training or anything, what is the best way for them to reach you?
The best way to reach us is through our website at artesiancollaborative.com. It's a super long name, but we love just sparking new growth in people. So that's the best
way. That's great. Do you mind spelling that just to make sure?
Yes, it's artesiancollaborative.com.
Great. That way you can back this up and listen to it again in case you didn't get it. Sunitha is very warm. She's very easy to talk to. And if you're looking for individual help, or if you're looking as a company and looking for a team, I just can't say enough about her and her team. I think you would be delighted to reach out to her. So please do that. One last question, Sunitha. We always say, we all get busy and sometimes we need to stop, take a moment and refocus. And so on those days that you are not focused and you are just, you're not a morning person. It's just one of those days you're going to that meeting, but you do not have game on. And you've got to pull it together. What is the music or the genre or the artist that you listen to that really gives you game on to get you through and get you to that meeting?
This is a great question because I feel like the genre changes depending on what's happening in the world. I'm going to give you something that me and my kids have been listening to. This is going to be really funny. They've gotten really into video game music. And so there is an artist called The Fat Rat, which maybe you're familiar with.
I'm not.
So I guess not everyone who listens to your podcast is going to know this. I actually really like his music too. And it's all music that is on video games, but it's a really good, upbeat, amped music. On the ride to school, it is a great way to keep my kids really happy and ready to jump into their school day, but honestly also helps me feel really excited and amped up for what I have going on too.
Right. And sometimes when you leave, if you work from your home, leave for just 10 minutes and come back. There's just something about the change.
Absolutely.
Getting up and getting going. Okay. So you said if you were in a different mood, do you have a second one?
There is an artist called Sid Sriram. He does kind of classical Indian fusion music. And I just really love, I love the way he blends his vocals. So sometimes, especially if I'm going into something that requires a more thoughtful or pensive sort of mind frame, I really love listening to something that's very multi-layered. And I just love the intentionality of his voice.
Awesome. I cannot wait to check these out. I've learned more with my music list, let me tell you. And I love that because like I said, we never have hardly anyone that says the same music. So this is great. And this gives other people an idea of like you said, even with your kids, versus listening to letting them be on their phones or listening to music you want to listen to and then they don't, and then you disengage. That's something that can bring you together. And I love that. So that is fantastic. Again, Sunitha Chandy, she's a licensed psychologist in Illinois. She's amazing. And I graciously appreciate you joining us today. It's been so delightful. And again, reach out to her. You won't be sorry.
Yes. Thank you, Angela. This was so much fun.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Refocus Careers. If you are not sure what you want to do in life, or maybe you're not happy in your job, check us out at refocuscareers.com. You can get career coaching there, but also check us out at our podcast, which is refocuscareers.com/podcast. And what you're going to find is you're going to find different interviews with executives from all different types of careers. And it may just give you a new idea, a new start, and a new career in your new life.